Important safety information will be available at the end of this discussion. Welcome to part 4 of our discussion, where pharmacists Gordon Sachs and Reed Nishikawa will explain why time and temperature are important when it comes to admixture stability.
If you look at the brochures, we looked at all these, and this was during when they were revising 797, and initially it was predicted they would go out to 11 days. So that's why our data is 11 days for the adult. You'll notice in the brochure, for some of the pediatric amino acids, it's only 10 days. Why is that? Had to do with stability, and it wasn't stable out to 11 days, so that's why we cut it off at 10 days. But the 11 days is made up specifically for home infusion environment, where you have 9 days under refrigeration, so you only have to ship once a week, and then 2 days at room temperature to add a little buffer. So that's what I call, if you hear me talk about 9 plus 2, that's what I'm talking about. The 9 is at refrigeration and the 2 is at room temperature. Now, to also simulate what you do in practice is we added everything at baseline as far as electrolytes, fat, amino acid, dextrose, and trace elements. We did not add the multivitamins because that doesn't simulate practice. And so then at day 9, we took the parenteral nutrition bags out of the refrigerator. That's when we injected the multivitamins. And then that's when the clock started at room temperature. And so that's what these results are based on. If your stability is at a shorter time, then your beyond use date should be shorter. So I can guarantee you, and there's a study to show, that if you have TPN that's stable at 24 hours and you leave it laying around for 4 days, I can guarantee you it's not going to be stable. And Dave Driscoll has shown that. He made one that was stable, and it was stable at baseline in 24 hours. At 72 hours, the same parenteral nutrition at room temperature was unstable. And that's what scares me so much about, especially with you as this audience, as home infusion. You know, think about in the hospital, you know, usually we give it a BUD of 30 hours, right? 24 hours to hang and 6 hours to get up to the floor or whatever. But from a parenteral nutrition standpoint, 4 days, even though 797 says it in a table, you need to look at the footnote under the table. And so the recommendation from Aspen is still 30 hours at room temperature. And then the new data that I've generated based on PPAP 5 is with the formulations that we have here under refrigeration is the 9 plus 2. So that's what Brandon and I want you to take away from this so that you're aware. You'll also notice that when you look at the pediatric formulations, you'll notice that there's only like 3 pediatric formulations listed. Whereas if you look at the adult, there's 10 to 14. I know that may imply, you know, people ask me, Gordon, why did you just test 3? Well, we didn't just test 3. We tested 10 to 14. Those are the only 3 that are stable. And so that's what you need to understand. And we're going to have some additional data from the medical science liaisons from Fresenius that can share with you some of the unstable formulations, so you kind of know where the cut points are. But it's not a black and white type of thing that we can talk about. It's very gray. And Reed and I are very much on the conservative side because we're talking about patient safety. And that's what we're always going to tell you from a patient safety side. What we're talking about is safe or unsafe.
Yeah, I think when it comes to admixtures, it's incumbent on each of us who actually are involved with the compounding of the PN to ensure patient safety. And if you are asked to mix something and you have reservations about its stability based on the macronutrient concentrations, the final macronutrient concentrations, then it's probably a good idea to find another way to deliver the PN components, because it's easy to say, well, I'll just make it and then I'll look at it afterwards. But then going back to what you can see and what you can't see, in a clear solution, you can see 50 microns. When it goes into a TNA and it's all mixed into one, I don't know what you can see. So you should err on the conservative side. And then if you don't think that it's going to be stable, it's better to use either one method is to take your 7 days a week and you look at your ILE dose and then you compress it into four or whatever. So you can get the concentration of the ILE up past 2%. Because how many people here are still making 3-in-1 where the bag's all white? Okay, so like what Gordon said is that time is working against you. So as the longer you have that in the home, then the greater your risk of emulsion instability. Using a dual chamber bag is more expensive, but if I was the recipient of that bag of PN, that's probably how I want it. That when you have the lipid in a chamber by itself, and the only thing that you have to worry about when you are doing this is lipid peroxidation. And because most of the bag manufacturers don't have that data. They don't have the data about oxygen permeability through the EVA bag, whether it's 100% EVA or whether it's a multi-layered EVA PVC EVA bag. They don't have oxygen permeability data. And then they don't have the data looking at fatty acid oxidation over time. And that's what, if you're really going to trust that bag manufacturing technology, then you really should have that data. But unfortunately, it's not available.
And just so everyone understands, to be clear, there's a little difference in commercially available or commercially manufactured multi-chamber bags and then a dual chamber bag that Reed's talking about where they're making it in their home infusion company. The commercially prepared manufactured multi-chamber bags, one thing that people don't realize is that at the manufacturing level, they're able to push nitrogen gas into these bags to evacuate the oxygen that may be present. And so that really decreases the peroxidation that could occur. And that's why some of these commercially available bags, they may have a shelf life up to 2 years prior to activation. When you have questions with any product, and specifically a lipid emulsion, I would encourage you to contact the manufacturer and say, number one, what data do you have? But number two, and this is why we discussed it, what analytical techniques did you use? That's what you need to ask.
Stay with us as we wrap up the conversation with a discussion on how the stability studies were designed. SMOF lipid, lipid injectable emulsion USP for intravenous use and intralipid, lipid injectable emulsion for intravenous use, important safety information. SMOF lipid and intralipid are indicated in adult and pediatric patients as a source of calories and essential fatty acids for parenteral nutrition, PN, when oral or enteral nutrition is not possible, insufficient, or contraindicated. SMOF lipid should not be received by patients who have a known allergy to fish, eggs, soybean, or peanut, or any of the ingredients, and intralipid should not be received by patients with a known allergy to egg, soybean, or peanut, or any of the ingredients or abnormally high levels of lipid triglycerides in the blood. SMOF lipid and intralipid may cause serious side effects, including death with rapid infusion of intravenous lipid emulsion in neonates and infants, risk of parenteral nutrition-associated liver disease, allergic reactions, fat overload syndrome, refeeding syndrome, and elevated triglyceride levels. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. For a more complete overview of the full risk profile, visit www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/smofflipidpi, www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/intralipid20pi, or www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/intralipid30pi. This safety information is intended for U.S. audiences only. Omegaven fish oil triglycerides injectable emulsion for intravenous use, important safety information. Omegaven is indicated as a source of calories and fatty acids in pediatric patients with parenteral nutrition-associated cholestasis or PNAC. It does not prevent PNAC. It has not been demonstrated that the clinical outcomes seen in pediatric patients are due to the omega-6, omega-3 fatty acid ratio of the product. Should not be received by patients who have a known allergy to fish or egg protein or any of the ingredients, a severe bleeding disorder, or abnormally high levels of lipid triglycerides in the blood. may cause serious side effects, including death, with rapid infusion of intravenous lipid emulsion in neonates and infants, allergic reactions, fat overload syndrome, refeeding syndrome, and elevated triglycerides. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. For a more complete overview of the full risk profile, visit www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/omegaVNPI. This safety information is intended for U.S. audiences only.